Chill Out for Films with Frost, Terry Frost.
And here he is, the man himself, Terry Frost. Good evening, Terry.
Good evening, Ivor.
How are you, man?
I am doing fine, mate.
And the film tonight is...
All About Eve from 1950. It was nominated for 14 Academy Awards. It won 6 of them and stars Betty Davis, George Sanders, Thelma Ritter, and a bunch of other people, including Celeste Holmes in it, Gary Merrill, who married Betty Davis for 10 years, and a few other people, including Hugh Beaumont.
That is a super cast list, astonishing. So it won six Oscars. Is that some kind of record?
Not really. There are movies that have won more, but the 14 Academy Awards it was nominated for, that stayed unmatched until Titanic in 1997. There hasn't been a movie that's got more than 14.
Well, I'm personally, I would say All About Eve is a far better film than Titanic, but there you go.
It wouldn't be hard, mate. Wouldn't
no,
be hard.
It wouldn't. It wouldn't, would it? Wouldn't, would it? So set the scene for us, fella.
Yeah, it's about, basically it's a story of the New York theatre. It starts out being narrated by Addison DeWitt, a character played by George Sanders, who introduces all the characters. And it's about Margot Channing, played by Betty Davis, who's an aging Broadway star who meets a young fan, Eve, played by Anne Baxter, who kind of inveigles herself into Margot's life and slowly undermines her to start her own career in theatre. So it's all about Eve undermining Margot.
Yeah, it's a fabulous film, isn't it? I mean, it's sinister and yet very funny.
Yeah, I think we should kind of do a bit of Addison DeWitt's narration now at the start of the film, where he introduces himself and talks about the Sarah Siddons Award, which they're presenting at the start of the movie.
The Sarah Siddons Award for Distinguished Achievement is perhaps unknown to you. It has been spared the sensational and commercial publicity that attends such questionable honours as the Pulitzer Prize and those awards presented annually by that film society. The distinguished-looking gentleman is an extremely old actor. Being an actor, he will go on speaking for some time. It is not important that you hear what he says. However, it is important that you know where you are and why you are here. This is the dining hall of the Sarah Siddons Society. The occasion is its annual banquet and presentation of the highest honor our theater knows, the Sarah Siddons Award for Distinguished Achievement. These hallowed walls, indeed many of these faces, have looked upon Modjeska, Ada Rehan, and Minnie Fisk. Mansfield's voice filled this room. It is unlikely that the windows have been opened since his death.
The minor awards, as you can see, have already been presented. Minor awards are for such as the writer and director, since their function is merely to construct a tower so that the world can applaud a light which flashes on top of it. And no brighter light has ever dazzled the eye than Eve Harrington. Eve. But more of Eve later. All about Eve, in fact.
To those of you who do not read, attend the theater, listen to unsponsored radio programs, or know anything of the world in which you live, it is perhaps necessary to introduce myself. My name is Addison DeWitt. My native habitat is the theater. In it, I toil not, neither do I spin. I am a critic and commentator. I am essential to the theater.
Anne Baxter had a pretty tragic real life, didn't she?
She did. She had a number of hassles with her real life. She did actually win an Academy Award for The Razor's Edge. She had won the Best Supporting Actress role. And she's often said that that part was her most successful piece of acting, where she wakes up in hospital and finds out that her husband and her child have died. And, she did have a number of problems with her husband. John Hodiak was one of her husbands, and they divorced in 1953, and he did die very early as well. She married a guy in 77 called David Clee, a stockbroker. He died unexpectedly after a really brief time in the marriage. They just bought a new house and everything like that, remodeled it. And unfortunately, he died. And she knew a lot about architecture as well, because her grandfather was Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect.
Is that right? Gee whiz, what a pedigree.
Her mother's father. Yeah, I really like her in this film, a little less than I like her in Razor's Edge, but I still like her a lot. I think that kind of breathless idolatry that she pretends to have for Margot really does give her away to our modern sensibilities, but you can see how people would be sucked in by the fact that she's willing to help out and she's willing to tell people how good they are as a way of getting into their life so she can slowly undermine them.
Yeah, that's true. But you see, the Bette Davis character is a fade. You mentioned it. She's a fading star.
Yes, she is. She's she was actually only 42 at the time she made the film, but in those days they didn't have the ability to remodel people the way they do now. And Bette Davis did have that kind of face. It looked very beautiful as a young woman. But as she aged, the bone structure and things like that kind of let her down a little bit, and she was just starting to look a little bit wizened in this film. And of course, that works for the film as well. And one of the things I really like about the film is the fact that they are willing to look at the way aging women are treated by entertainment media in a very early stage. People are only starting to talk about this stuff now in most cases. But in this one, she is really, really good with the insecurities and the self-doubt and the pride of a woman who's at the top of her career but can see a slow downward slope very, very soon.
Yeah, and she plays it beautifully, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's very touching in the film too. She's very funny and bitchy in a lot of places, but she does have that kind of strain of really, you do feel for her and you really do like the character. You can see who she is. She's very talented. She's very insecure, but she's got friends around her and she is loyal to her friends. And one of them, her housekeeper, is one of the characters I really like, Birdie, played by Thelma Ritter. And Thelma Ritter's got her own relationship to the Oscars as well.
Well, in what
she
way?
Was nominated 6 times without winning.
No.
She was. Only Deborah Carr had the equivalent. She's the only other person who was nominated 6 times with never winning an Oscar. But Thelma Ritter, I like. She just started in movies when she was 45. She'd done a little bit of stage work and radio work before that. But I think of her in movies like Pick Up on South Street, where she played Mo, who's a kind of informer. If you see her in that movie, she's heartbreakingly good in that. She could do comedy. She could do tragedy. She was kind of a Brooklyn-voiced little lady of middle years who, in this film particularly, is the voice of reason almost. She sees through Eve before anybody else in the movie does, including George Sanders' character, Addison DeWitt, who's a very knowing and arch kind of person and very cynical. Even he doesn't see through as quickly as Birdie does.
No, because she's a flattering trollop, really, isn't she? She says everything that she knows instinctively what people want to hear.
She does, and she gives it to them in great heaping amounts.
Yes.
And one of the things to watch out for in this film, and I always find this very interesting in movies as well, is the question of, is she straight? Because particularly towards the end, there are some strong intimations that in spite of the fact that she does play up to a number of men and tries to seduce Margot's boyfriend very unsuccessfully. He puts her off very flatly and with a great deal of class. But is she really interested in men? She tends to have interests elsewhere.
As you said, it's intimated, but it's never stated. And that's, we were talking the other week about a similar thing in Nightmare Alley. Things that are left unsaid can often be better or more exciting than things that are laid out on a plate. Modern films tend to lay everything out for you, don't they?
They can do. I think good ones don't. I think good ones give you that little bit of you've got to dig for it a little. And I love that too. It's a bit like having a McDonald's meal compared to a really well-prepared meal where you've got layers in the desserts and the meat's done a certain way and the vegetables have got those interesting little spices on them that you've really got to kind of think about when you eat it. I compare it to that, basically. It's beautiful having layers in a film because you can look at it in a very shallow and superficial way, which is perfectly fine. People can enjoy movies at any different level. But if you just dig into it a little bit, you find all these really interesting little tidbits. And part of the joy of being a movie buff is finding those things and going, wow, I didn't know that was there. And I've seen this movie 15 times, but I just noticed it this time.
Yeah, it's like looking at a great painting, isn't it? You never tire of it.
Yeah, and the eyes follow you around the room.
That'd be your iPod, iPad, iPhone, would it?
Possibly, yeah.
This is the 21st century. Okay, shall we have another little bit of the movie?
Yeah, let's have a little bit more where we've got a few different characters, including a very early role by Marilyn Monroe playing Miss Caswell, and you get a little more of that beautiful George Sanders, Addison DeWitt, archness in this bit.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night. I distinctly remember Addison crossing you off my guest list. What are you doing here?
Dear Margot, you were an unforgettable Peter Pan. You must pray it again soon. You remember Miss Caswell, don't
you? I do not. How do you do?
We've never met. Maybe that's why.
Miss Caswell is an actress, a graduate of the Copacabana School of Dramatic Art. Ah, Eve.
Good evening, Mr. DeWitt.
I had no idea you two knew each other.
This must be at long last our formal introduction. Until now, we've only met in passing.
That's how you met me, in passing.
Yes. Eve, this is an old friend of Mr. DeWitt's mother, Miss Caswell, Miss Harrington.
Miss Caswell, how do you do?
Addison, I've been wanting you to meet Eve for the longest time.
It could only have been your natural timidity that kept you from mentioning it.
You've heard of her great interest in the theater.
We have that in common.
Then you two must have a long talk.
I'm afraid Mr. DeWitt would find me boring before too long.
You won't bore him, honey. You won't even get a chance to talk.
Claudia, come here. You see that man? That's Max Fabian, the producer. Now go and do yourself some good.
Why do they always look like unhappy rabbits?
Because that's what they are. I'll go and make him happy.
I love the bit where George Sanders says she's from the Copacabana School of Acting.
Copacabana. Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
And really, we all know that Marilyn was actually Actors Studio.
She did. Soon after this, she did spend some time in the Actors Studio to really improve what she was doing. But when she was making this movie, she was terrified of Bette Davis, who was an enormous star at the time. And it took a number of takes for her to do the scenes, particularly that last bit with Bette Davis, because she was just so nervous. But I think she did very, very well. And she played that kind of light comedy of that very small and superficial part extremely well. It's one of the roles that brought her to the attention of the studios and really started her career. And I think in this one, she looks stunning, but I think she's also quite funny as well, which again, I think this movie is an underappreciated comedy. There are some kind of other aspects to it, but just with George Sanders and Thelma Ritter and Marilyn Monroe and a few other people, including Bette Davis and a few of the lesser actors in it, really, it is quite funny if you just listen to the dialogue and let it flow over you.
And also, it's a great looking film, let's be honest.
Beautiful black and white cinematography. The director and writer, Joseph L. Mankiewicz, he wasn't really big with the fancy camera work. If you have a look at the movie with the fast forward on, which, as I said, it is useful, he doesn't move the camera around a lot. He doesn't pull many tricks, but the story and the acting carries it through. Now, I mean, there are a few tracking shots and a few other bits and pieces, but in general, it's not flashy direction, but it does serve the story extremely well.
Yeah, but the lighting is fabulous.
The lighting is, it's because it's a studio film, of course, the lighting on those ones is always really top. They have people who have been doing this stuff for 20, 30 years and really know particularly black and white cinematography very well. And George Sanders actually won the Best Supporting Actor Oscar that year for playing Addison DeWitt in this film. And I think he was playing to his stereotype a little bit, but I think he actually brought a little bit more to it this time around. It's one of my two favourite roles that he did.
And the other is?
Viaggio in Italia, the Rossellini film he did with Ingrid Bergman.
Right. Well, that's not a common film.
No, but it is extraordinarily good. Both of them are very, very good. They play a kind of a strange married couple who are taking a holiday around Naples and get into a few adventures and kind of realise what their life should be. It's quite a touching film. It's very highly spoken of by Martin Scorsese, who I heard him talk about it in a documentary and tracked down the film. But if you look for some of those roles George Sanders did, he's fantastic. He played a very good Nazi in Manhunt with Walter Pidgeon in the 1940s.
Absolutely. And he also had not necessarily tragedy in his life, but he had a private life that he kept hidden from just about everybody, didn't he?
He had a number of aspects to his problem. He married Zsa Zsa Gabor and her sister Magda, apart from anything else. But one of the things I remember him being very, very funny in was a movie called The Kremlin Letter from about 1968, where he did a drag act. Anyway, it's a spy movie, but he plays a drag queen in a spy movie there and did a very good job of it as well. It seemed to be the thing to do at one stage. Even Yul Brynner did it in The Magic Christian with Peter Sellers.
He did.
Yul Brynner singing Mad About the Boy in Drag was hilariously funny. Of course, we've got Celeste Holm in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
And she was in High Society with Frank Sinatra and Grace Kelly. She's kind of fine in the supporting role there. She's Margot Channing's best friend. And I think she holds up really well. It's always interesting seeing her in film because she's just a bright and a reassuring personality in a funny kind of way.
And such a lady.
Yeah, she always played a lady and she was very good at it. And I remember her doing a couple of drunk scenes with Frank Sinatra in High Society, so she was good in that too. Never a kind of flashy actor.
No.
But, yeah, she adapted to the material very well and brought brightness and intelligence to what she did. There's no fancy tricks or anything like that, no actor tricks kind of thing. She listened to what the other actors were saying and it seemed like she was reacting to it in a very kind of true way, which makes it even more interesting. The ensemble in this film is great, and Mankiewicz did have a talent for that. He did a very silly film called The Barefoot Contessa a couple of years after this with Bogart, Ava Gardner and Edmund O'Brien in it. Which is interesting too. Again, the ensemble worked and there's a certain cynicism. He really liked to kind of make fun of actors in the things he did a little bit. And the industry of either on stage or in movie studios, he did have some sly digs at those things and it was one of the main themes through a number of the movies that he did. He really did kind of see that they were doing absurd things that were highly admired.
Well, did he come from silent films?
I mean, no, his brother, Herman Mankiewicz, was the guy who co-wrote Citizen Kane with Orson Welles. Started out as a screenwriter with Paramount and then moved on to MGM and 20th Century Fox. He became a director. But he didn't really start on the stage, but he did, because they were in California at the time, he did start in the movie industry and was very enamoured of that and went on to make a number of films all the way into the 1970s and almost to 1980.
This is a fabulous film, and I tell you what, it's an old film, we know that. It's 62 years old, for goodness sake. But it is such a good film that you forget, in fact, when you're watching it. And the funny thing about this film is, like really good black and white films, you forget there's no colour because the performances throw the colour at you.
They do, and you didn't need, you don't miss the colour, which is the other aspect of it as well. You can't see anything that could have been brought to the film by it being in colour rather than black and white.
And was that budgetary? Is that why they did that?
I think it may have been budgetary partly. Betty Davis had just finished a long relationship with Warner Brothers Studios and she was freelancing and they weren't quite sure of her, and Mankiewicz hadn't quite got to the stage where he was getting all those Academy Awards. He won back-to-back Academy Awards, in fact, in 50 and 51. And then, of course, his career took off. But at this stage, it wasn't one of the larger budget films of the time. And it wasn't a movie that needed colour and needed that widescreen or anything like that. So they kept it to black and white. And they stuck it in that little square frame. And it did work. It's a number 17 in the best American films of all time on the American Film Institute list.
Brilliant. Well, that's an accolade, isn't it?
It is. You don't get there from being ordinary.
No. That's right. Okay, well, look, thoroughly recommend All About Eve. Definitely, if you can find it in your video store, take a copy home. And you might even want to buy it after you've watched it.
Yeah, and it does turn up occasionally on places like ABC too, so it's worth checking your listings and just seeing that whether it's there. It's just a joy to watch.
Good old ABC too, eh? Well, good
ABC
old ABC.
ABC does good stuff.
Yeah,
good
does.
Old ABC.
Yeah, good old ABC. So what's next week, young man?
I thought we'd do a full-on comedy next time and do It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
I always got that title messed up, you know. How many mads in there, you know?
There are four mads in there, mate.
There are four mads in there. And it is a mad film. Some of it makes absolutely no sense, but that's part of the joy.
That's a common trait with modern films as well.
Yeah, well, I think most modern films make no sense, except I think I told you that I saw Hugo and I was extremely impressed. It's so good to see a fine director, even though the plot can be a bit thin. The direction in the film is just fantastic.
Still haven't caught up with it. I'm going to have to do it.
You do. It's probably out on DVD in your video store by now.
Not quite yet, but it soon will be. And I definitely think I want to pick up a nice high-definition copy of that.
Unless you know someone going to Bali, of course.
Well, there is that option as well.
That's right. Well, thank you for tonight, Terry.
Thanks, Ivor. It was a great film.
Thank you. Cool. That's Terry Frost. He'll be back next week.
Chill out. For Films with Frost. Terry Frost.